You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 12th of October, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we are broadcasting live at RadioAryan.com. Because the man is here at last, the producer of Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, communism by the back door, and the Freemasonic victors of World War II, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, I do believe we've got you.
Better late than never.
We do have you at the end of at the other end of the communication line. How you doing? What's been happening?
Well, it's just been one of them days where I don't respond to anything electric, or vice versa.
I thought maybe maybe you've been hit by some of these floods.
It's terrible. I'm on the other side.
Yeah, it's terrible out there. I mean, there's floods, there's wind, there's power cuts.
Yeah. So like at your place.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. They've given out weather warnings, and over there in America, they've also got hurricanes over there. Poor old Bill Fink. He thinks he's going to.
Have we upset Israel again?
Oh yeah, it's this weather magic again. Well, Bill Fink in Panama City, he's been hit by these hurricanes, and he thinks he might be out of action for at least a week or two. No water, no power. Yeah. Well, I thought maybe something had happened up there. So it was just the computer wasn't working.
Well, the mouse is doing whatever it wants today. You know, I go right, it goes left. One of them days. I think it's all to do with that transgender period I went through last week.
Well, so long as you haven't got women's underwear on tonight, I think we'll be
no,
okay.
I have tonight.
Well, we have still got we've got our pre-planned notes because we did them up the other week, didn't we? We were talking about
it was such a good show. You know what I mean? I thought we're going to do another one this week.
Yeah, you know, the planned finale, basically, to the series.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance?
My Samson plan.
to tear the roof down and bring it all collapsing in on you at the end, are you?
If we go, they all go.
Okay. Well, have you done any more work on that finale?
You know, Sven, you're asking me these questions. I haven't done anything. I've tried, but it's just been one of them weeks. Left foot goes forward, right doesn't follow.
Yeah, well, I guess we all sometimes have some of it. I was helping somebody out with a computer the other day, and we spent 2 days, and we just really didn't get anything done. We thought we were even going to have to send the computer back, and what it turned out it was, what we thought was just a row of lights on top of the computer were actually buttons. And they weren't just lights saying the internet was off or the sound was down, but there were actually buttons that you press, and one of them was a mouse button. So of course the mouse wouldn't move because the mouse had been switched off, and we thought it was just a light, and it wasn't. It looked like it was just a little light, but it was actually a touch sensitive button. And once we got that sorted out, everything was okay. But yeah, we couldn't move the mouse, couldn't get online, couldn't do anything. 2 days
modern
wasted.
Modern technology, Israel's dominated at the moment. Probably a microphone in there now.
It is a real. It can be a real test of your patience sometimes. It really can. But anyway, we've got the notes that we can refer to from last week where we got up to, and we were talking about socialism, communism, the Illuminati. We discussed the beginnings of the Illuminati and Adam Weishaupt and the mystery religions. And we talked a little bit about the control of cash and how that's going to be with contactless cards. And then they're just going to be able to switch off people's funds so that they won't be able to buy anything. And just at the end of it, we talked about what we're going to be doing in this episode, and we'd be talking about the Templars and how this banking system all began. And I've got a quote here from you, Dennis, which we can discuss afterwards, I hope. And it says, this is referring to to the Templars, it says this, oh no, it says this brotherhood will rule by communism, which they themselves invented, talking about the secret societies. One manifestation was the Knights Templar, who were communists. When one joined the Templars, they had to give up all their worldly belongings. He contributed to his ability, and he received only to his needs. So what's this about the Templars being communist, Dennis? I hadn't heard that before.
Well, it's they're international bankers, and the international bankers still today fund communism, because that is the preferred way to organise and control nations. Russian Revolution was one. So these, I mean, the word communism wasn't actually around then, but the actual principles were communist, if you understand me.
Would that be the symbolism of the two men on the horse then? Something to do with that?
Well, that's like, you don't need two horses. We've just sent you one, mate.
and there was also this giving up of the worldly belongings, wasn't there? This pooling of the possessions. Right. And that led to the Templars amassing lots and lots of money, masses of funds. And they actually became the first international bankers. And what they did, they people would give them all their wealth, and then they would give them a note, and then they'd be able to cash that note in once they got to the Holy Land to buy anything that they needed. So that was the first check, basically. And once they actually got, once these Templars got out there to the Holy Land, they started talking to the Muslims, and they started talking to the Jews, and they got into the esoteric side of the scriptures, the occult side of it. Following, these mystery cults, the Kabbalah and the Sufis with the Muslims. And then they got it. Did they get into usury as well? Do you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That, I think that was probably the reason why the King of France and the Pope conspired to wipe them out, because he couldn't afford to pay them back. It's compound interest. He could never pay the debt back.
Well, that would make sense, because, you know, they were an order of the Pope, weren't they? They were an order of the Catholic Church, and there must have been something to turn the Pope against them. There was rumours of these initiation rituals, and the initiation rituals supposedly included sodomy and a head, a severed head that would tell the future. And that was the reason that was actually given for getting rid of them. But there could well have been usury involved as well.
Could well have been. Of course, they brought back the worship of the Baphomet, the gender, half-gendered woman and guy, and woman's bust and man's genitals. Wonderful person. More confused than I am.
That was what they actually called the head. The head that they worshipped, apparently, they called it a Baphomet. And I've heard that that is a cipher for wisdom. They were worshipping the god of wisdom. So that's one side of it. But this Baphomet is also Baphomet, which is the figure that Eliphas Levi drew that you're referring to there, this divine hermaphrodite, which features in esotericism. So it could have been that involved in it as well. This idea of this Baphomet, this hermaphrodite, that seems to have evolved over time. So he's got, nowadays he's got horns and it's a goat. But if you go back in history, you can see that this divine hermaphrodite figures quite a lot, but it doesn't have the goat symbology with it.
But he's really confused.
Well,
what animal?
Half man, half woman, half animal. Yeah, there's some kind of transsexual Negro, I guess it was trying to portray.
All roads lead to the Baphomet.
Well, I do think when the Greeks were portraying these half animal, half men, centaurs and fauns, I think they were alluding to miscegenation there, because these creatures were supposed to be real hedonists, party animals. Very lewd.
Yeah.
And that's what the mixed race people are like today, because they don't have anything else to live for, really, other than hedonism.
Yeah, they just want to be happy all the time.
Yeah.
No time for any misery, you know.
They don't want to be thinking about anything.
All the time, you do my head in being happy.
Bacchanalia, that was what these Greek rites were, weren't they? The Bacchanalian rites, where they would get drunk and eat mushrooms and take lots of drugs and have lots of orgies. And of course, that led to the fall of Greece. And I guess the Templars, you know, part of their rites, as I say, was sodomy, and they were supposed to be kissing each other on the backside and doing these lewd kisses. And being involved in buggery, so there's a lot of homosexual overtones to this. And the head of the Templars, Jack de Molay, he was burned at the stake by the king, wasn't he? And this was all on Friday the 13th. They actually moved against these Templars, and apparently a fleet of them escaped, and they escaped and went to Scotland. Sorry,
unlucky for us.
Yeah, well, this is just it. I mean, I've said this a few times. It is Friday the 13th. They say it's unlucky, but, you know, it's probably not unlucky for good people. It's unlucky for bankers, unlucky for devil worshippers. But it was quite lucky for the people that had got themselves in debt to these Templars. But they managed to make their way over to Scotland, apparently, in a fleet. And
unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, there's a myth about that. And what they did, once they got to Scotland, they built Roslyn Chapel, which is just outside of Edinburgh. And inside Roslyn Chapel, there's all this Freemasonic imagery, and that's the Freemasonic centre, is Roslyn Chapel. And they claim that they came from the Templars, and that's their proof of it, is this chapel, which has Templar symbolism and Freemasonic symbolism there as well. But I have heard another rumour. I have heard another theory that this idea that the Freemasons can trace themselves back to the Templars is a deflection from the fact that Freemasonry was really just a cover for the Jews. But yeah, they couldn't admit that. So they said, well, we're descended from the Templars, to cover up the fact they were descended from Jews.
Yeah. You just remind me of a comment someone was making. I'm going to go up. I was on a Freemason video with a lot of Freemasons in there, and he says, don't you realise that the Jews never joined the actual lodges? I said, so what were Roosevelt and Churchill then?
Well, what they did, they used
between his legs.
Yeah, well they used the Freemasons as their puppets, didn't they? Because the Jews couldn't. Yeah. They were banned from holding any civil offices, banned from being in government, banned from holding any part in civil society. What they did, they got the Freemasons to advocate for them and to advocate for the laws that the Jews wanted. So you got Freemasons calling for liberty, fraternity, brotherhood, equal rights for all. And that was what the Jews wanted, because then they had the same rights as everyone else. That was the real goal of it.
Well, there's also this, you see, the Jews have never actually had their own army as such. They've always got into a country, got into power, got all the media, and used that particular army, like they used the British, and like they used the Americans there. They probably used the French in the past. So what this Freemasonry does is you've got a Trojan horse in the middle of these countries and cities, and they're just opening the gates and letting them in.
Well, eventually they succeeded. They got the equal rights. They started the French Revolution, and that was really the start of the emancipation for the Jews, and all these other countries followed.
Yeah.
Until
Napoleon was a Freemason, obviously, and he was fighting for this Illuminati.
Well, he helped them out, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he turned at the end, but as they always do, but too late then.
Yeah, I think Napoleon possibly he was involved in this esoteric stuff as well, wasn't he? Wasn't he in Egypt? Didn't he have something to do with the Sphinx?
Pyramid. Well, no, yeah.
The pyramid. What happened there then?
Yeah, I mean, when the French Revolution took place, they actually captured the Pope, and he died in captivity. He was in prison.
Right. So were they trying to use him as a hostage? Or what was the point of that?
I don't think they're trying to use him as a hostage. I think they just wanted to break the Catholic Church up. I don't think they wanted another Pope, but what happened was there was another Pope voted in for it, you know, obviously not in the way that they had previously done, but there was an official Pope, and that dashed their hopes, thinking the Catholic Church, because they had the Pope had gone. But like I said, they brought another Pope in and things carried on, but severely wounded.
And how was the Church then disposed to Napoleon after that? Did they just sort of go along with him, or were they still trying to resist
well,
him?
No, I mean, like, he crowned himself emperor. Did he get the Pope to do that? I know the Pope were impressed, but he actually was the emperor. I can't remember if he crowned himself with the Pope, did he? I'm sure the Pope must have done it.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it? It was Nimrod that crowned himself. Nimrod was supposedly the first to wear a crown. He made a crown for himself and put it on his head and called himself king. And apparently Nimrod was the first to do that. I can remember reading in...
Sets a precedent then.
Yeah, in one of the apocryphal books, which I guess he's saying, you know, and that's really what we're told today, equality. Anyone can be a king. It's just an accident of birth, which cuts all the breeding and the hereditary genetics out of it and says everybody's the same. We're all equal. Is fit to rule.
A poodle is a German shepherd.
Sorry?
It's like saying a poodle is a German shepherd.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. This idea, I mean, it goes back thousands of years. This rebellion against the natural order.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And against the people that should be in authority. And this is why we've ended up today with money being, and usury being the decider of who has all the power. And because of usury, instead of the people with the money being the cleverest and most innovative, it's the people that are prepared to sink to the lowest lows and take the money from the weakest and the poor.
Well, what they've done, a lot of these so-called traitors, as I call them, they've sold the family's futures, the grandchildren's, children's future, because if this comes to pass, then we will be trapped in enslavement, and this will not be easy to get out of because the army, the sole army.
Well, everyone's taught today that, you know, you don't have to care about society, and there is no such thing as a community. It's every individual out for himself. The individual's rights are more important than the nation's, and everybody's out to make as much as they can. So you shouldn't care about any bad effects that what you're doing may have on society, just so long as, because everybody else is supposed to be doing that. Everyone is supposed to be out for themselves, which just makes everybody greedy. I mean, the whole of democracy is based on that, isn't it? You vote for what you want, whoever's going to do the best for you, not what's best for society.
In America at the moment, are they calling democracy, what's that party in Germany, what Hitler said were secretly communist? Democrats, so social democrats. Some left-wingers were complaining that the media never uses social democrats. I think it's social democrats. Anyway, but they were whinging again anyway. But all it is something that fools the population into believing they're voting and their vote makes a difference. They're voting for a new leader. Like, I voted for Blair just to get rid of Thatcher. And that pillock were worse than her.
What you really want, you just want to know that you've got the best people running the country, and you don't want to be bothered about it. You just want to be able to trust them to do their job that they're going to be best at doing. And we have people.
Dictators do. They've got a bad reputation, but to me, you know, that's what they do right.
Well, a benevolent dictator, that's what you want. And the best of those would. By necessity, be somebody, you know, who's of that ethnicity, like a king or the monarch. I mean, you can't have a king without his subjects. If he doesn't have a people, he's not a king, is he? And if he is a king,
I don't think this particular royal family is worried what colours outside the gates, because
not today. not today. I mean, it's all fallen apart since the French Revolution. I mean, any monarchs that are left in place now are traitors, really. That's the only reason why they're left in place, is because they've said, well, we won't stand up for the people. We'll just take the money and the respect. That's what a constitutional monarchy is, isn't it? It's, you know, the monarch is just there for show.
Best front.
Yeah. So, but if you go back to the original kingship, I mean, these people would lead our people into battle. And it was only 500 years ago that we still had a king fighting on the front lines.
We talked about this before, and you kind of changed my attitude to it, really, because I had the attitude alive that we don't really need them. When I listened to what you were saying, I kind of agreed, you know.
Well, if you have somebody that's going to be passing on that realm to a member of his family, he's not going to sell that realm off, is he? He's not going to sell off bits of the country, because it's going to be kept in his family. And also, where they know that they're going to be ruling, they're going to be taught from a very early age how to rule, and they're going to be given the best education. You can't give everybody the best education. You can't give everybody the best of things. Only a few people can have that. So you want the very best people to have that. And we know that genetics accounts for 75% of a person. By the time they get to 40, 75% of their whole personality is inherited, and only 25% is taught to them. So you want somebody with the absolute very best genes. The royalty may have become corrupted over time, but originally it would have been somebody that was incredibly fit and healthy,
with a
very high IQ. Yeah. Somebody that would... that would be very good at ruling. And if they were good at ruling, you would think, well, their offspring are going to be good at ruling as well. And you would let them pick who they wanted to follow them. And then you'd have a fail-safe. You'd have the aristocrats, the Witan or whatever it was called, the Anglo-Saxon council. And they would either back up what the king said when he died, and they'd say, yes, we'll have his choice. Or they'd say, well, we don't agree with that because of this. So you always had like a fail-safe there. But then as soon as you allow usury in, as soon as the Jews come in with their usury, then that corrupts people.
And definitely.
Money that is unearned.
Yeah, I mean, the 9/11 commissions and the Warren commissions and all that, they've all been bought off. They're all there just to cover up. And like you said, usury pays it.
And they started up these secret societies. They started up first off with the Freemasons, but you also had the Illuminati, who was a spring off from that. You had the Rosicrucians, and then on the outskirts of that, you have groups like the Lions Club, the Rotary Club, and these other organizations that aren't actually secret societies, but their contacts and the people they deal with are all within these secret societies. So that's how they can exercise their control, and that's how they can learn about what's going on. You've also got the intelligence apparatus, the spies. They're all linked in with the secret societies as well, and that comes from the banks, from the banks knowing what was going on, from the Rothschilds being connected all the way across Europe, and then being able to get information back to Rothschilds in London before the government in Britain knew what was happening in that war with Napoleon.
Yeah, that's right. The hierarchy of all these secret societies, I'm not saying all the members, but the hierarchy, are all aware of this agenda from way 2,000 years back. And they've worked incredibly hard and secretly, father to son, daughter, mother to daughter, handed down. And incredibly, they managed to keep it where people still either don't know about it, or if they do, a lot think it's just a conspiracy theory. But it's, to be honest, it's a wonderful achievement, regrettably.
Well, they have managed to keep it going, haven't they? Going back to your notes are saying here, you say they opened up the lodges that today are known as Freemasonry and many other secret societies. All are interlocked with the same goal. It is, in effect, the same order at the highest degrees. So they've got the same rites that they're doing, and the initiations. Then you say the highest order are the illuminated ones, the Illuminati. The thousand beams of light that Bush Sr. mentioned are referring to this. Bush, a Trotskyite, was an operative of the CIA as well as its head, and it is alleged he had involvement with the Kennedy assassination. Initiated into the Order of Skull and Bones by being placed in a coffin with his genitals tied, then defiled by members and lifted from the coffin by a lion's paw. So you're talking about these initiation rituals there that these members of these secret societies get involved in that sort of tie them together and tie them together as secrecy. I hadn't heard that bit about it with his genitals being tied before.
Yeah, I think there's some more where you have to, I think you've got to open up all your sexual secrets in front of all the other members as well. That must be pretty intriguing.
Well, that sounds like something, like these organizations, I think they call them frat boys. Fraternities, yep, that they have at these colleges and these universities, and they do hazing, don't they? And they do dares, and that's sort of grown out of these secret societies and the initiation rituals that they have. So to join these groups at college,
there's two levels of education over here. There's education for the ordinary people, but then there's the education in the public schools. I know Americans will think that weird being called public schools, but private public schools public schools over here are expensive private schools in reality. And all the families like the Camerons and everybody else, they're taught a different teaching than what the general public is. And so this is why you get covens and hellfire clubs and Crowleys and all the rest of it, because they're actually taught the mysteries in these elite schools. And this keeps us pressed down, never knowing, just wondering where they know from the off.
Well, they're taught how to think at the public schools, aren't they? They're taught how to read Latin. They're taught how to read Greek. Yeah. They study the classics. And none of that's taught in the normal secondary schools anymore. You don't learn any of what's gone on before. And you get a lot of political correctness. Did you know that Katie Hopkins, she was banned from speaking at any public secondary schools, but she was allowed to speak at the private schools?
It doesn't surprise me. It's amazing because people send the kids from all over the world to our schools and to the elite American schools, and yet our nation is so dumbed down. It really shows just exactly, what the thinking is upstairs.
There's a big difference between the two, I think, and there's political correctness that goes on. I think that's really drummed into the working classes more than anyone else, because it's the working classes that are at the rough end of it, that are seeing what's being done to their communities, that are being looked over for jobs and are in a queue to get to the hospital or to get their kids into the school. So it's the working classes that really get blasted with the political correctness, I think. And then in these private schools, they're told that they're a cut above the rest. They're taught to think of themselves as being a cut above the rest.
Yeah.
And they're taught how to talk to people. They have lessons in rhetoric, how to speak. Which are not
words don't mean what we think they mean.
Yeah, well, they taught how to hold themselves in public, how to make speeches, how to debate, how to make a good impression, all these sort of important things that, you would hope everybody would be taught that, but you just have to sort of work it out for yourself if you've just gone to a normal secondary school. You get lessons in that. And women get lessons how to hold themselves, how to walk, all sorts of things that you just don't get in the secondary schools anymore, because it's not seen as politically correct.
It's cattle fodder, isn't it, really? Who cares about us? Because I tell you this, I said it the other week, when the British girls can be put through what they've been put through with the Asian gangs since the 80s, maybe before, they have no protection, they have no army, they have no police, they have just like us, we haven't realised it yet. But that army and that police is against us. It's for the government. So that's why some people are having a sharp shock at the moment with, you know, what's going on in Britain and the West in Europe.
Have you seen what's happened recently with Tommy Robinson and the army? That's been fairly interesting.
I've lost track of him, actually. Last I heard, he was going in for after the weekend, he would do a carry on the court case thing.
Well, what's happened here is he was just out and about and stopped off at a petrol station, and there was a coachload of squaddies there. And the squaddies recognised him, as you would. Oh, it's a celebrity. Let's have our picture taken with him.
Yeah.
So the squaddies had their picture taken with him, put him up on Facebook. We bumped into Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson did the same. And every one of these squaddies has had his phone taken from him and has been locked up and is now being investigated. And the Muslim Council of Great Britain have been the spokesman for the British Army, calling it our army, saying our army has no place for the far right, Islamophobic, la-di-da-di-da, as if the Muslim Council of Great Britain is the head of the army. So Tommy Robinson has fought back. He's set out a petition, but he reckons that he's been talking to hundreds of these squaddies and they all support Tommy Robinson. He's a big hero among the army. And, you know, they're on the verge of, mutiny over this because they think so highly of him.
They want to hurry up and do it because, like you said, the Muslims believe it's their army. Do you not remember Cameron? And Cameron speaking in a private meeting, secret recorded, in communism by the back door, where he actually says we don't need any more white Christians. We need Muslims and Muslims in the highest realms of power, in government and in the army. So what's going to happen, Sven, is this. Like every single revolution that I know of, the French and the Russian, and in particular, they open up the prisons to cause chaos. At this moment in time, they are overflowing with Muslims. So you think about it, a couple of years down the line, when this government thinks, right, it's about time we did this changeover, and slightly in Russia and France and Libya, another one, they opened up the prisons. So suddenly now, you've got an unarmed population, outnumbered, more or less, by that time, and roaming, gangs roaming around, strange ways open, or wherever it is open. Maybe not had a woman for a few years, is starving at the time. Doesn't make for a good scenario.
Well, this is what happened in Libya, wasn't it? They opened up the prisons, and in Syria. And this happens quite a lot. They will open up the prisons and they'll say, we'll give you a pardon if you'll fight on our side and be the revolutionaries. And our prisons are filled to overflowing, as you say, with Muslims. Yep.
What doesn't help the matter is, right, is that the governments, America and France and Britain, go to Muslim countries and bomb the shit out of them. So then they let all these Muslims through the gate over here. So they're all festering in a prison saying, so-and-so's been bombed again. So by the time they come out, they're looking for revenge. It's all planned. You don't go bombing Muslim countries and then let them in. It's supposed to be a secure place, this place. But they've let them in. They've opened the gates.
The only way to make sense of that is to look at it from an identity Christian point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, as in the white race, which is pure, and the non-white races, which are the forces of the devil, basically, because the people that are letting these Muslims in are Jews, who the Muslims supposedly don't get on with. Yet if you look at it as in Muslims and Jews are part of the same force, and the Negroes, they're all part of the same force, then it doesn't matter if these Jews are letting the Muslims in and the Muslims are going after the Jews, because all three of them are out to get the white man. Exactly. And that's the goal.
And the thing is, Sven, right, it'll probably all kick off at the same time, because, when the riots usually start, you usually get copycat riots in Birmingham and places like that. Well, if it kicks off in Europe, it starts off in Europe, it will kick off in this country. It'll begin but, the outcome is, we haven't got the weapons to defend ourselves, never mind attack.
well, we haven't got the army to protect us. So what Tommy Robinson was saying is that the morale has never been at a lower point in the army because
the Muslims first.
Yeah, because they've been putting out these advertisements showing people crying and Muslims praying and homosexuals engaging in homosexual behavior and saying, well, this is the army. They've cut out the bit where it says be the best because you can't have the best because that's exclusive. There are some people that aren't the best. So what they're saying is we want homosexuals, Muslims and people who aren't the best to join the army. And we haven't got a place anymore for the white working class. And if any of you dare to say that you like Tommy Robinson, that's it. We don't want you either. And these young lads are supposedly bringing freedom and democracy to Afghanistan, and they haven't even got freedom to take a photo of themselves with a celebrity in this country without being investigated.
Even back in Armada days, they left at sea, weren't they? So, you know, they haven't been treated well, I don't think. You know what I mean? They've just been treated bare minimum. So...
Well, I think there is definitely a civil war brewing. You know, we've got this racial brewing. You have to look at non-whites as them acting as a group. You have to look at their behaviour as a group. You can't look at individuals and say, well, this individual is okay, so they're all okay.
You know, no, because when it starts, they'll side with their own. The thing is that they're not a people that mix. So consequently, they're coming in all these years, and now they've got their whole communities. So, I mean, remember when the Bradford riots and all that, and the Leeds riots? There was thousands of them. So they've a base where they haven't integrated. So it's an army inside a country which is bombing Muslim countries.
Well, there are areas which are 99% non-white now in Britain, 99% Muslim. Yeah. Where you're not even going to hear the English language being spoken. You've got the capital city, which is 60% non-white. It's gradually taking the country over.
And well, when you think about it, Sven, Christianity has took care of itself over thousands of years. They've run the country, assuming they thought it was Christianity, but obviously there was other subversive things going on which they didn't know about. But everybody was living in a Christian culture. They may not have all gone to church or what have you, but, you know, everything ticked over. It worked, and everybody was happy. Well, all they're doing now is they're replacing us Christians with Muslims, because where Muslims are, everything ticks over nicely. So the Jews will just sit back and just let the Muslims carry on where the Christians used to. That simple.
Well, the Jews have always ended up getting on well with the Muslims as well. I mean, they might have these disagreements over... Palestine, you know, there might be a few bits in the Quran that say about Jews getting killed by Muslims, but when we look back in history, it's always been the Jews that opened up the gates to the Muslims, and then once the Muslims had their violent revolution, you find that the Jews are there as the advisors and the bankers and all these roles.
In all of this, the only enemy was the Catholic Church. Nobody else were fighting them.
That's very true when you look back in history. But, you know, what's happened today is the church has become infiltrated. Christianity has become infiltrated. We did used to have the Christian society, which got on very well. You treat other people how you would like to be treated. But as soon as you bring Jews into that, they're going to take advantage of it, of the fact that people are left alone to... And the benefit of doubt is given to people. You believe the best in people. You can't have that when you've got non-whites in the country. But this is the problem. People are treating non-whites like they're whites, and they're believing the best of them. And you can't do that. You have to believe the worst of them in order to guard yourself. It might not be a very nice thing to say, and you don't want to be thinking the worst of people all the time, but that's the only way that you can survive in a multicultural country. Is to think the worst of these peoples that are around you, because otherwise, one of them is going to get away with doing what they do.
Well, I saw them immigrants what stormed the beaches in Spain. A complete gang of them. I mean, you know, you just don't want to be a neighbour of these people. Trust me.
Well, that's the cutting edge, but you know, we've also got the ones in the kebab shops that are poisoning us with peanuts in the kebabs or food poisoning in them. Then you've got the non-whites in the NHS, which are deliberately messing up surgery and causing people to be permanently disabled and have the rest of their lives in chronic pain. 70% of all the doctors struck off from the NHS have been foreign. Yeah, and then you've got the ones in that are the rape gangs. You've got the ones that are involved in drug dealing, the muggings, the robberies, the prisons that are filled up with them. And even if you just had a few that were doing that, it would still be saying, well, you can't have them here because they're a net negative to us. And that's the way you have to look at it. You have to look at them all as a group, working against us as a group and as a force of evil against us. And any of them that are good are just covering up for the rest that are evil.
Well, let's face it, Sven. If we'd have seen Europe, what was happening in Europe 15, 20 years ago, I mean, obviously it was going on then anyway, but not to the scale as it has been lately. You just think everybody's just gone insane. You just open all the doors, whether it be terrorists or whatever, Somalians, make excuses that they're refugees. It's just one big, massive plan. And it's going to end up with civil war in Europe and it'll spread over here, I'm pretty confident. Because the Englishman will, if anything, will go down fighting. He may not win that battle, but he will go down fighting. I can't believe he'd just roll over.
Well, this idea of blending the races together, I mean, that goes back to Babylon, as you've shown, and this Babylonian empire where they blended the races together, and it's been pushed by these secret societies consistently. The Brotherhood of Man, liberty for everyone, equal rights for all, human rights for all, anything that walks on two legs is equal. And that's what we're now seeing coming to fruition. That's why they come up with different excuses for it all the time. At the moment, it's refugees. Before then, it was, oh, we need people to do the jobs that we don't want to do. We need people to rebuild the country after the war. It's always a different excuse, but the end goal is always the same, replacing white people or blending us out. I mean, even Kudinov Kologi was quite open about this, but it goes back from before him. It goes back, as I say, to this Brotherhood of Man idea. And you can even look back at the previous empires, things like the Roman Empire, when they brought the slaves in. And then there was a push to give the slaves the same status as the citizens. Then, you know, think of all the taxes we'll be able to get and think of how many people we'll be in charge of. And of course, that just weakened the empire and it was easily taken over by the Saxons and the Vandals and, you know, these Germanic tribes that were supposedly barbarians. Because they've become weakened.
And I think they've been driven as well by the, I think it's 1.6 million Jews, I think, were massacred by the Romans. And I think they've wanted revenge ever since. And this is what drives them for this, you know, to war with Europe all the time.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, back then, they had Jews as well. It was the Jews that were trying to get rid of the Christians. At first, that were enticing the Roman leaders to go after Christians, but particularly Nero. So you had this push then for everybody to be equal. Because who does that benefit? Well, it benefits the Jews, doesn't it? If they have equal rights to everyone else, if they can hold roles of power, if they can be bankers, if they can be educators, then it benefits them. It doesn't benefit us. So they've always pushed for it.
Which is why I think Hitler was adulated as he was whenever he was out in his car, he was mobbed. Because with what they'd gone through Germany previous with World War One and the celebrations after, you know, they could actually see that he was helping them. And when they say, oh, the Germans were hypnotized, it's laughable. It really is laughable.
Well, that's because we don't see leaders that actually do what the people want nowadays. No, we only see that in the Middle East, and we get taught to mock the people that were supporting Gaddafi or that were supporting Bashar al-Assad. Aren't they crazy? No. They've been told they must worship their dictator. Well, no, the guy's actually doing a lot of good for them. You know, the leader of a country should be doing what's best for the country, not doing what's best for everyone else, not globalism. This is what was such a shock about Donald Trump. Make America great again. do what's best for everyone else. Nobody else is going to do what's best for you. You have to do what's best for yourself. Dennis, we've got near the end of the podcast now. I know it's been a little bit of a short one today, but we can continue with a part three of this next week, just tying up the loose ends of the series. So thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Don't forget, we do require donations to keep the website going, and we do have a Bitcoin wallet at the bottom of every article, and we'll see you all next Friday, and I hope you all have a great weekend ahead of you.
Tuned in to Radio